And a good day to mobile listeners worldwide. You're listening to the Walk of the Day program, and I'm your host, Ron Parks. It is always a joy to be able to join you live from the studios of Global Network Radio here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of the United States of America. Welcome today means welcome, Father, welcome, Son, welcome, Holy Spirit, into the newness of our day. Why? We simply want to be better disciples of Christ, doing exactly what our Lord said, that is taking up our cross daily and following Him. Tonight, today, our insight is going to focus on spiritual warfare and when to recognize that spiritual warfare is in the mind and not necessarily from Satan. You know, it's very easy to assume that all warfare comes from Satan. Our lesson today is to know when our minds need to be renewed, because it's our minds that is an obstacle to the will of our Father in God. That's going to be our insight today. We invite you to stay tuned to listen and take some time to invite a family member and a friend. The music in the background, it is C.C. Winans and the song No Greater. Speaking of No Greater Love, it's on her new album, Believe For It. What a wonderful way to begin our broadcast. Just being reminded, there is no greater love that we can experience than the love that's in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why don't you take a few moments and invite a family member, a friend, an associate to join the broadcast. Tell them we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare and when to know to protect our minds when it comes to do our Father's will. The streaming link by which you are listening to us, share that link on your social media page, text it, email it to your family member, your friends, your associates. I believe today that they're going to be blessed. Let's continue to listen to the song, No Greater Love. Well, once again, a good day to you, brother. A good day to you, sister. Thank you for listening to the Welcome Today program. If you're just joining us, once again, my name is Ron Parks, and I am humbled to have a Monday through Friday joy to bring our global listeners of this broadcast welcome today. And it's featured on our network, Global Missions Frontier, our Global Missions Frontier Network, Global Network Radio. And our blessing has been, since the year 2015, to see 80 different nations of the world tune into Global Network Radio. And we have been blessed to see persons take this network and expand it to their own countrymen. And let me thank specifically those of you that are tuning in this very moment, my own countrymen that are listening throughout the United States of America, thank you so much. To those that are listening in the Southern Africa country of Namibia, thank you. In fact, in May, I will be coming to the country of Namibia, and looking forward to that. Hello to those that are listening in Germany, long-standing listeners in Germany. Thank you for those that are tuning in Thailand. Hello to those that are listening in the Netherlands and long-standing listeners in the country of Russia. And however you are tuning into this broadcast on our multiple social media links and streaming links by which you have received this invitation from another, thank you so much for being a part of today's broadcast. Let me segue into our subject for today. You know, you probably have heard of the subject, or you probably have heard of the theme, or you've heard of the phrase, the terminology, spiritual warfare, have you not? But the question we're raising today is, all spiritual warfare, is it satanic? When we are experiencing spiritual opposition, is spiritual opposition only from Satan? And what you're going to hear today in this broadcast is an answer to that question, no. Every time we are experiencing opposition, and specifically, every time we are experiencing opposition to God and His will, it is not always Satan. You'll discover that when you study the Bible and you study it contextually, warfare is interpreted in a variety of ways. There are four major opposition points to the faith of the believer when we are engaged with our Heavenly Father, and specifically when we are engaged with doing His will. Of course, opposition point number one is Satan. And you can add to that Satan and demons. Satan is a personality that used to be one of God's chief angels who, because of pride, was kicked out of heaven and made to be the devil, Satan, who is God's chief opposing enemy. And because Satan is God's chief opposing enemy, he also becomes the opposing enemy of God's people. And Satan has demons, emissaries, that are disseminated, circulating throughout the world, and they just as equally are an opposing influence. This is why Christians are told, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, to put on the whole armor of God that they might stand against the devil. But then there is another realm of warfare. It is called the world. You ever notice that the Bible is very firm on telling the Christian to abandon the world? In James chapter 4, listen to this. James says, whoever is a friend of the world is an enemy against God. Now, notice that hostility can exist when we simply are adherents to the world. John gave us exactly what is wrong with the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17, we're told, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because the things that are in the world, listen to this emphatic statement, it is not of the Father. Something about the world is hostile to God, so much so that God disowns it and says, don't be like the world. And then it says, for the world is driven by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world system, a better way of putting that, is the non-Christian world system. It operates in hostility to God because simply it's not saved. It's not representative of the righteous kingdom of God. It can be said that the world system is the system of sinners. And because sinners are not in tune with God, sinners think independent of God, and their motivation points, the world, it's not motivated to please God. The world is motivated and driven by the lust of the flesh. How do I please the nature, the sin nature of man, the lust of the eyes? How do I gain what I see with sight, and the pride of life? You see, the world operates independent of God. And this is why it is referred to as a world system. It is a system of non-Christians for non-Christians. And interestingly, the Bible even speaks of Satan manipulating the world system because of its opposition. But even if there was no devil, because persons who run the world, the political world, the entertainment world, the entrepreneur, the business world, the financial world, the clothing world, there's an entire system out there governed by non-Christians who operate in hostility to God. Now, notice what James says. When you are a friend of the world, you are in an enemy of God. There's a hostility there. Interesting that it uses the word friend of a world. Friend, where we get that word phileo from. There is a brotherly a kindness, a brotherly favor with the world. Well, you see, when I favor the world and what drives the world, then you'll find you'll be more interested in pleasing you than you are God. So that's two enemies. There's Satan, there's the world, and then there's enemy number three, is the flesh. Did you know without Satan, the flesh all by itself, it can be an enemy? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 17, it says the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one another. You see, the flesh is influence. It's that part of our human nature that is influenced by the sin nature. And the flesh is simply one wanting life, one wanting practice, one wanting desire, one wanting goals and aims, all on their personal concerns. The flesh is not concerned about God. That's why Galatians 5:17 says the flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another. Even without Satan being around, there can be a battle right within your inner being between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Every day, I, like you, sense the battle between the flesh and the Holy Spirit within me. And then I want you to listen to this other area of spiritual warfare that takes place in the mind. Now, this is going to occupy most of our broadcast today. My digital Bible is open to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. But specifically, I want to focus on 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 4 through 6. And just listen to this language that the Apostle Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is fulfilled, or once your obedience is fulfilled. Notice the language Paul uses. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. They are weapons of divine power that demolish strongholds. Now, it's interesting that Paul uses the word weapons and uses the word warfare, but he uses weapons and warfare without mentioning the personality of Satan. Now, you ought to pay attention to that, because clearly the Apostle Paul knows that there is a conflict with Satan. How do we know that? Well, if you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 18, Paul is very clear that a believer needs to put on the whole armor of God, that they might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But interestingly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul uses weapons, he uses warfare, but he does not mention, he doesn't mention the personality of Satan. And the reason being is because Paul wanted it to be abundantly clear in the life of a Christian that sometimes when you are engaging spiritual conflict, when you are encountering spiritual conflict, sometimes it is not Satan. In fact, if you were to look at just the context, usually when we say the context, we mean how is the scripture itself defining warfare? Verse number 4 again, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are weapons of God with divine power to demolish strongholds. And here it is. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, there is the area of warfare. The area of warfare is mental arguments. It is pretensions. It is thoughts that believers can have that are acting in opposition to God. You see, I'm not sure if you understand the context of 2 Corinthians. The entire book of 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to defend the authenticity of his apostleship. There were some in Corinth who had begun to promote that the Apostle Paul was nothing more than a fake, that the Apostle Paul was nothing more than an imposter. Interestingly, even though the Apostle Paul had founded the Corinthian church, he did that on his second missionary journey. He was the reason why this church had definitely had existence. He was the reason why this church came to faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, something went awry in that church where persons led to Christ by Paul, their hearts turned away from him. Now, that's possible. That shouldn't be anything new to us. If you've ever studied Old Testament or New Testament, one of the things Old Testament and New Testament teaches us, it's very possible for the people of God to turn their hearts away from God. Israel did it to God over and over and over again. You find them in a place of faithfulness of God, then you find them in a place of repentance and turning to God. If you read the book of Judges is nothing more than cycles of Israel walking in fellowship with God. Then number two, they turned from God and found themselves in gross sin. Then God would send judgment. They would repent of their sins, and then they would be restored back to God. They would live in faithfulness to God, only to eventually go back into sin. God would judge them. They would repent again and come back to faithfulness. 18 cycles in Judges of Israel drifting away in sin, receiving judgment, repenting, and coming back in the fellowship with God. The same thing in the New Testament. You'll find that there were churches that drifted from Christ. The Lord told the church of Ephesus, "You don't love me like you did at first." He told the church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, "I wish you were hot or cold. If you are hot or cold, I would know what kind of people you are, but instead you are lukewarm, and because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." Now, I want to stay on point. The Corinthians' minds had been corrupted about the Apostle Paul, and Paul considered their thoughts warfare. He considered their processing warfare, and he considered their conclusions warfare. Our minds can operate in independence from God. Now, this is what he meant when he said, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Put it this way: if we were to put before you the knowledge of God's will and raise the question, are there any opposition points to God's will, without even enlisting the devil, without even enlisting the world, we could say yes. There can be two areas of the mind that is operating in opposition. There could be arguments. It's interesting what it means by argument. It means that we can refute the will of God. That even though God has given his clear defined will, arguments means you refute his will. You know, there's God's will in his word, and then there's God's will by the Spirit. Well, what about when God's Spirit leads you to belong to a particular church? And let's just say you don't like that church. You don't like that pastor. Arguments would mean that you argue against God's will. It's called the Jonah syndrome. Remember, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah begin to do? He began to argue against God when it came to his assignment to go to Nineveh. Jonah's reasoning was that I don't want to go to Nineveh because I know what's going to happen. I personally hate Ninevites. And since I hate Ninevites, I'm not going to preach the gospel to Ninevites because I know what's going to happen. God is going to be merciful and save them. So since I don't want to go, I'm going to go in a completely different direction. Don't be hard on Jonah. There are many believers like that today. When God gives his actual will for what church you belong in, what ministry you are to fulfill, what persons you are to work with, many people start arguing against the will of God. And then they're not only arguments, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, but there are pretensions. And pretensions, another way of putting it is sometimes the way our thoughts work is our thoughts view God as wrong and we are right. It's interesting, another translation calls pretension high things. And the idea of high things is it's when you elevate your thinking above God's thinking, assuming that you know better than God. You're calling the shots. Not God's calling the shots, but you're calling the shots. Now, here's what I want to say to you, because I have a break that's coming up. I want you to listen to this. You know, it's very easy, brothers and sisters, to blame all opposition on Satan. And let me tell you why. This is just a Ron Parks assessment why it's easy to blame conflict on Satan. Sometimes it's easy to blame conflict on Satan because it prevents us from taking responsibility ourselves. You see, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5 is that our goal is to make sure that every one of the Corinthian leaders and members, we want to make sure that every thought is taken captive, listen to this, and made obedient to Christ. What is the goal in warfare? It is to make sure that everyone's thoughts, every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, every elder, bishop, deacon, all of the church members, we want everyone's thoughts arrested. What thoughts? The thoughts that are arguing with God. The thoughts that are elevated above God. We want to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes church experience conflicts that strictly is traceable to the perception of the Christian leader or the perception of the Christian church member. And perceptionally alone We do one or two things that shows that our minds are out of sync with God. Number one, we argue with God. We argue with him about the specificity of his will. The other thing that we do is we suggest to God another way. I was doing a broadcast last week when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Christ said those wonderful words to our Father. You know, Father, if it's any way possible, can this cup of suffering pass away from me? And then Jesus said, not as I will, but your will be done. Why is it that the Lord surrendered to the will of Jesus Christ? Well, he surrendered to the Father because he knew Father knows best. Yes, there are some thoughts I have about facing the intensity of the cross. But Father, not what I want, but what you want. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to act like my thoughts are better than your thoughts. I want you to step in, Father, and you show me your will. I want to play a song for you. It's a song by CeCe Winans. We're featuring her music today on her album, Believe for It. And that's the song I want to play for you, Believe for It, by CeCe Winans. Be blessed.
Chains will never break, but they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you
The song Believe For It by the wonderful artist C.C. Winans, featured here on the Welcome the Day program. Hello to you, brother. Hello to you, sister. Thank you for joining the Welcome the Day program. I'm your host, Ron Parks, and it's a joy to be able to join you live from the studios of Global Network Radio, where it's another day that we're welcoming anew the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into the course of this day. Today, our insight is focusing on when warfare is not Satan, but it's our minds. And so far, we have learned that while we definitely should take our stand against satanic opposition, we also should know that when our minds are operating in independence to God, it does not demand any satanic influence alone. Our key text we're focusing on, our key passage we're focusing on, is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. We've learned that sometimes our minds can argue against God. Sometimes our minds can assume we have a better perspective than God. And Paul said those two things, those thought processes, must be taken captive and made obedient to Christ. We're going to continue with our insight on the other side of this program note.
Global Radio Network presents an Adopt a Nation Prayer Project Spotlight.
In nations where Christianity is the minority religion, God's love is the engine of evangelism efforts. During the 1990s, three English second language teachers chose to live and teach in a Buddhist majority culture to reach souls for Jesus using non-traditional methods. In the late spring of 1994, these ESL teachers sowed seeds in the life of a young man while he was attending university. Their efforts were successful in bringing him into the kingdom of God. There was no specific moment I can refer to my conversion. After interacting with my ESL teachers, I read two books on Christianity and believed in Jesus. There was a great outpouring of joy and peace to know that God is real. I started writing praise songs then. Jesus passionately loves the lost as they wander as sheep without a shepherd. We should pray for the nations to be discipled in the light of the big picture of every nation, all tribes, peoples, and languages coming into His kingdom. The current day Christianity is falling way behind the challenges of the day, including the population growth, technology development, and increasing persecution. We need an army of workers from the harvest field to rise and to be sent into their circles of influence. Father in heaven, ignite evangelism zeal all across this globe, in every city and nation, and among all people groups. Protect, guide, and anoint this brother as he labors tirelessly to reach people for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To learn more about evangelism zeal in persecuted nations, visit opendoorsusa.org.
Praying for Persecuted Believers, Global Network Radio, and Adopt a Nation Prayer Project.
God raises mission agencies for a couple of things and reasons. One of them is research. The other one is to provide, to become a think tank. Wow. Like I always teach that, I don't believe there is a Great Commission that was given to the mission agents. The Great Commission was always given to the to church. And the mission agents exist to prepare the church for the Great Commission. And I think it has been helpful that along the way, many pastors have been mindful of what really is necessary. What is unfortunate is that the church never gets involved in missions unless they keep missions in front of them.
Wow.
All the time. And
wow.
So many pastors need to be educated in this, to know that your people and your church cannot be an active church in global evangelization unless missions is in their face all the time.
The wise words of our international director, Dr. Clopas Jatapa, emphasizing the importance of the Great Commission repetitively being before the body of Christ until we catch it as a personal mission aim. Hello to you, brother. Hello to you, sister. You're listening to the Welcome Today program. I'm your host, Ron Parks. Today we are focusing on the subject of spiritual warfare and why we must guard our minds, because not always does spiritual warfare emanate from Satan. Sometimes spiritual warfare is what's going on in our mental processing, especially when we are presented with the clarity of God's person and also the clarity of God's will. This is a segment of the broadcast in which we pause in real time to pray. We call it Let's Pray Together. And before the final segment of our insight, we pray. We have a moment where we ask you to pause to answer one question of this moment. What is it that you need God to do for you right now? You know, even in this very moment, there are times that I sense God wants to take on big ticketed items. Sometimes there are items that are so big that demands the intervention of God that you know and I know there's nothing we can do to affect the change that is needed. And let's be honest, sometimes when it comes to large things, though we know only God can handle it, sometimes there's a spirit of hopelessness. Sometimes there's a spirit of despair. I just sense in this moment that God wants to revisit the words he spoke to the old prophet Jeremiah when God said, "Call upon me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you never envisioned could happen." Today, we want to develop fresh hope towards the God who is able to do beyond what we imagine, certainly beyond what we are capable of doing. You're going to hear my voice leading in prayer, but I want you to add your voice. I want you to bring to God what is your greatest need. Let's believe that he's going to show us great and mighty things we never thought possible. Let's pray together. Father, we are so blessed to be your children. We are privileged to come to you, who formerly was guilty sinners separated from you, but now through the grace afforded us in Christ, we are yours for all eternity, heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to say thank you, Jesus, for being redemption's price for us, to give us this moment of coming to the Father. And we realize and confess that we are not always at our best. Have mercy upon us, O God. Wash away our sin guilt. And yet, we have come to believe you afresh, because large items of life, large items of home, large items of country, city, and community, large items of mission, large items of ministry, large items of budget, large items of health, and most of all, large items of human hearts are before you, that unless you intervene, Lord God, there is no hope. Today you have spoken to us anew the words of hope, that if we call upon you, you would answer. Show us great and mighty things we never imagined could happen. Father, in this moment, be pleased as we trust you. and those who trust you, may you reward them according to your riches in glory. Bring transformation, bring change, meet every need of budget, heal sicknesses and diseases in the name of Jesus Christ. Open doors that have been perpetually closed. Close doors that are no good for us. Father, we pray. Open the windows of heaven. Pour out blessings in ways that it becomes abundantly clear. Only Jehovah Elohim God has come through his Son Jesus Christ to provide us with everything good for doing your will and realizing your favor and grace afresh. We humble these things to you and believe that you'll be faithful to these prayers and the prayers we will continue to pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister, for joining us in our time of Let's Pray Together. And just in case you are just tuning in, you're listening to the Welcome Today broadcast. I'm your host, Ron Parks, airing from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the United States of America. And so glad to be joining you in the various time zones of the world. You know, I have a very interesting position here in the studios of Global Network Radio, as I'm looking at listeners from Russia, listeners from the Netherlands, from Thailand, from Germany, listeners from Namibia and the United States of America. And those are various time zones of the world and even time zones of the nation right here in the United States of America, as I can see persons that are tuning in as far as away as Ashburn, Arizona, and Houston, Texas, and those that are tuning in into the various nations, states of the United States of America. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today, wherever you're listening from, and let me send out a special word of thanks for those of you who are spreading our network to others. There's no way that our network could advance as far as it has without some of you sharing our network with others. I appreciate you, brothers. I appreciate you, sisters, for sharing. You know, we have been looking at, in this broadcast, when spiritual warfare, when it is not Satan, but spiritual warfare is in our minds. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 through 6 acknowledge a war that can be going on that demands the weaponry of God. And interestingly, Paul mentions warfare and weaponry that is not in association to Satan. I said this in the earlier part of our broadcast. No one like the Apostle Paul was clear in acknowledging the conflict we have with Satan, in that there is a familiar passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 18 that focuses exclusively on putting on the whole armor of God in our conflict with Satan. But we learn that not all warfare is from Satan. We learn that the non-Christian world is battleground for the believer, which is why we're told 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17, don't love the world. James went as far as to say in James chapter 4, if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. See that hostility there? And then there is the flesh. Paul said in Galatians 5:17, the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another. Yes, there is warfare with Satan. He's just not always the source of warfare. And then there is the independence of our mind. This actually is akin to the flesh, akin to the sin nature. I said this in the earlier part of the broadcast, that contextually, the entire book of 2 Corinthians is a writing by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian believers to defend his apostleship. Why did Paul have to defend his apostleship? It was because there were some who had concluded in Corinth that the Apostle Paul was nothing more than a fake. He was an imposter, that he was pretending to be an apostolic leader, but in actuality, he was only masquerading the role. Now, this is a church that the Apostle Paul planted on his second missionary journey. And now these believers' hearts are operating in hostility. So is it any wonder that when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul has a different understanding of the source of spiritual warfare. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish stronghold fortresses of opposition. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we bring captive every thought to obedience to Christ. Oh, what Paul is saying, there are thoughts of believers that need to be arrested and brought into complete obedient, obliant compliance with Christ. What is the functionality of those thoughts, Paul? It's right there in verse number 5. We have to demolish arguments. I said in the earlier broadcast that sometimes believers argue with God. We argue with the specificity of his will. God tells us what church he wants us to belong to. We argue against obeying him. God tells us what mission, what ministry we are to fulfill. We argue against him. God tells us about certain relationships he wants us to forge because those relationships are a necessity, only to find we argue with God because the persons he's calling us to be in relationship with, we don't like. We don't prefer them. I don't want him as my pastor. I don't want to hang around them. I don't want to pray with them. We argue with God. I talked about Jonah and how God told him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah argued. Let's not think it's strange that a believer can argue against God. And then there are pretensions. Do you know what pretensions are? Pretensions are thoughts that are competing with the thoughts of God. Remember the great Isaiah 55 verses 9 and 10. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens is above the earth, so far are my thoughts and ways different than you. You see, Every time God reveals his will, those are his thoughts. And most of the time, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Remember Moses' exchange with God? God told Moses that he was the called deliverer of the people of Israel. And Moses was, no, I don't see myself as the called deliverer of Israel. You see, sometimes we have thoughts that are competing with God's revealed will. Not all warfare is Satan. Some warfare is the condition of our minds. I want to close with this because I only have a few more minutes. How do we surrender our minds to God? Well, let me say two things. I want to give a biblical directive, and then I want to take about 1 minute to give a practical example. Have you ever noticed that in Romans 12:2, to qualify ourselves for doing God's will, we're told you have to get a brand new mind? Just think of that for a few moments. This is what the text of Romans 12:2 says. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed," metamorpho, "be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Listen to the last part, "that you might approve, attest to the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." I best ready myself for doing God's will when my mind has been renovated. Let's be honest, it takes all of us time to adjust to doing God's will. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, I love the vulnerability of Christ in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 45. Christ, he is sensing the intensity of what he must bear to be redemption's price. And in sensing the intensity, he can sense what's coming. He goes to the Father and says, "Father, is there any other way that this cup of suffering can be passed from me?" And right in the same requesting, Christ humbles himself and says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Do you see the great example Christ is for you, for me? When our minds start betraying us, when our minds tries to reinvent the will of God, refuse the will of God, reject the will of God. Listen to this one. When we try to recreate the will of God for something that's more comfortable, more preferable to us, Jesus teaches us a lesson. And that lesson is, God, I'm going to do it your way in the end. Because that's all that matters. All that matters is that your will is done. My dear brother, my dear sister, before we blame Satan as the source of conflict to do God's will, we should examine our minds. Our mind can become a battlefield all its own, which is why we're told to renew our minds. Well, that music in the background means I have to bring the broadcast to a close, but I hope that you've heard something that both challenged and encouraged you. Stay tuned for Global Network Radio. We air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, bringing you the finest Christian music, the final preaching and teaching messages, and the finest encouragement in fulfilling the great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because my name is Ron Parks. It's been a joy serving you. You have yourself a wonderful day.